expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds!
Good morning.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah, it's Sunday. Once again, March 8th, 2020.
Mark, I thought you billed yourself as a one-man wolf pack. That didn't sound like a wolf to me.
Bulldog, man, bulldog.
There we go.
Anyway, my name is Mark Kent. I'm here in the studio this morning with my guest host today, Nick Gardner, who is on the air.
Good morning, and I'm happy to be here.
Very good. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson, and, you know, my sister, who does all the heavy lifting, is not here. She's over at the gun show. Who'd have thought? And our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great gal, we really love Ashley.
Good morning.
Good. Oh, I like that voice, too. It just does something. I get goosebumps. Just saying.
You're going to get me in trouble.
You look good in red. So, anyway, let's see. Should I go into the seventh circle of hell, or should I just spin out of control into the meatheads and prostitutes, politicians, liars, leakers, lip pirates, lowlifes, and all those other guys that we talk about all the time?
Yes, go for it.
Sure, okay.
Nick's very agreeable so far. I'm a little concerned.
So far, so good. Just like when you jump off a building, so far, so good. 1460 and 96.5. Your talk radio. Anyway, I guess I have a couple of announcements to make. One is there's a call to action town hall meeting on Sunday, March 15th at 1 p.m. at the Tehama Fairgrounds. That's 650 Antelope Boulevard, Red Bluff, California. Topics of discussion, the Second Amendment, State of Jefferson, Cottonwood Minutemen, Tehama County Deputies Association. Speakers will be Mark Baird, Jeanette Finnegan, Mark Herr, and Woody Clendenin. And that's a pretty good lineup. And I think that, those kind of things that are coming down the pipe are worth discussion. And if you're a patriotic, red-blooded American, you need to show up there and participate in this, because the day is coming that you won't have a choice but to participate in it if you don't start now. Just saying.
You know, I listened to Pete Peters on KQMS yesterday, and he had Woody Clendenin.
Yes.
Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And Woody explained what the milita was and
The militia.
The militia, yeah. And the program that they have for taking kids without a father out in the woods, teaching them how to camp, teaching them how to gain confidence and life skills.
Well, that's a good program.
Oh, gosh, I couldn't believe how good. I thought about trying to sign up for it myself. You know where I can get a fake ID that says I'm 12? I might be able to get somebody to just volunteer you out.
Yeah, there's a place in Chicago, I think. I was just thinking, you know, when my dad said that we were going out to the woods, there was usually a willow switch involved. Oh, boy. Well, gosh, we got, once again, it's Sunday, and here we are, and there's too many topics to talk about, but I don't know. What do you have on your agenda, Nick? Maybe we should start with you first.
Well, the main reason I came in is to talk about Measure A, why it failed, and ideas on moving forward. And I'm not here to gloat because it failed, because I would have liked to see a tax measure that was acceptable to us taxpayers to, you know. And the main reason it failed, in my opinion, is our voters have woke up and they've started paying attention. Janet Chandler at the Patriots meeting last weekend mentioned the fact that we need to stop just listening to what our politicians are telling us and investigate whether it's really, really what they're telling us is true. And it was my experience that there was a little exaggeration going on when it comes to Measure A. For instance, you know, I went through the measure with a fine-tooth comb, and I never found anything in there that mentioned any number of jail beds. And I've got a flyer right here in my hand that they sent around, and it says plus 500 jail beds. I heard that number repeated on the radio numerous times by numerous people, and it just wasn't so. And we have woken up and found out that sometimes we're being misled.
I think the proper verbiage is lied to, and on a pretty consistent basis. And, you know, what happens is it's just like the knuckleheads that watch mainstream TV. You can listen to something that comes out of the mainstream media, and then they just start repeating it like parrots. You know, and if you walk, you know, look across all the different channels on the mainstream media, they all repeating the same thing. And then pretty soon everybody's repeating the same thing. And it goes back to what Hitler said back then. You know, if you're going to tell a lie, tell the big lie. And everybody starts to believe the big lie because everybody's talking about the big lie. And that's exactly what has happened in a lot of our elections. And we need to have informed voters who look at things for themselves, not depend on other people's word. Because you know something? Half of those guys didn't even read the bill.
You know, and that's exactly right. They did repeat it so many times that people were convinced that it was in this. I heard one gal on a commercial saying, and they're going to build a 500-bed jail. And even Kay Wilson, Kay is very well informed, and she got on Carl Botz and mentioned that, and I called Kay. And she said, it says it in here. It says they're going to build that. I said, Kay, no, it doesn't. You read that again, and you find it for me. And she called me 4 or 5 hours later, and she says, you're right, it's not in here. And I said, you know, this money they're having here is going to go to the old jail, maintenance and staffing and food and this and that. No, that money is going to go for remodeling the 2 courtrooms that are on the bottom floor of the old jail, and that's it. And I said, but it doesn't say that. It says for the whole jail. It doesn't say that specifically. If the expenditure plan had said this is to build a 400 to 500 bed jail and all the associated expenses for running it, I would have voted for it, but it didn't. And I didn't like a lot of the other things about the bill, some of the other verbiage, but that's okay.
Well, you know, what bothered me is that, you know, it's you typically follow the money. Who's standing in line making commercials? Who stands to benefit from, you know, the money that if it would have passed, it would be generated? I mean, okay, so I saw One Safe Place, the gal on TV saying we need to vote for it. You know, you got the sheriffs and the police all wanting to vote for it. You know, why? Because they're going to be recipients. Now, One Safe Place, you know, I'm not sure what dog they have in the hunt on that, but I'd like to have followed the money and see where all the money would have gone, because it was discretionary, and they talked about probation, and they talked about this, and they talked about that. And I, you know, I'm coming to think that there's a whole industry in this town built on people in trouble. You know, I mean, how many people actually benefit from One Safe Place, for example? And I'm not trying to disparage them. What I'm trying to say is I'd like to see some numbers on something like that, because if, you know, there's 10 people that benefit from this, but there's a staff of, you know, 30 all making $100,000 a year, then I'm just wondering how, you know, is that industry or is that about helping people? Is that a charity that's, you know, for the purposes of what it says it is, or is it just a job for everybody? And it makes me wonder. And again, I'm not using them to disparage them, but I've worked with charitable companies before where They, you know, 95% went to the company and 5% went to the charity. And I'm just wondering, you know, if that's the case with some of these outfits, is that is, you know, what's happening with all the money, whether it's the government, whether it's these, you know, non-government agencies, you know, who's benefiting from all of these things, and why are they so anxious to pass a tax when they don't even read it?
Well, we're going to go to a break now, but it is an economic driver. That's as far as I can see.
Right.
State of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Reading all year long. And help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
She rattled the ass in my plastic cup. I said, yes, ma'am, fill her up. Tell me something good that I don't know. Cause this world's been kicking my behind. Life ain't been a friend of mine. Lately I've been feeling kind of low. And she looked back over her shoulder, pointed at the sign hanging up on the wall. It said, everything's gonna be alright.
And we're back! We were talking about the economic driver here in Reading, which is the criminal activities, the jail, all the people that actually suck the government's hind tit when it comes to crime.
Well, that's kind of where I was headed with all this, is the where's the money going, you know? And You know, not that I'm disparaging anybody, but, you know, the fact is that if you look at what's going on in the marketplace and, you think about what's going on in the pensions and the unfunded liability and all the things that were happening, you know, that were circling the wagons on the money issues at the, state, local, you know, county level, then, you have to understand that their pensions are in trouble. And if their pensions are in trouble and they have discretionary money coming in, then who is, you know, are they trying to shore up their pensions? I would bet you dollars to donuts that most of that money would have been reallocated from the old money that they could have control over to their pensions. The market's not taking a dive here at all lately, has it?
Hey, they weren't going to take any old money away. They were just going to construct, repair, renovate, and maintain the existing jail with it. And they were going to finance the operation of the existing county jail and adult detention facilities, not limited to, but including hiring, training staff, and providing inmate food services and inmate health. Didn't I have a deal last week that they were spending $4 million on health for the criminals that are locked up?
Well, I mean, you can't let them die in the jail, but at the same time, I mean, what is that all about? See, what I'm saying is about staffing, about people being employed at the county and government level. And the government seems to want more and more and bigger, government, you know, at all different levels, whether it's non-governmental agencies that are in conjunction with the government, whether it's the support services, you know, that's what I think most of this is about. And you're hitting the point right on the head. Where's that money going? Well, it's going towards, you know, more staff, more services, but not solving the problem. We got so much. We don't need more staff. We need these guys to go spend a little time in the pokey so that they start maybe turning over a new leaf if possible. And, you know, again, medical services, you got to have some of them, but, you know, that's an overriding factor as opposed to getting more jail bed space.
That was narcotic services and rehab and that kind of stuff. But how can you say that it was going to hire a lot more officers when you've only got two hires in Anderson, 23 in Redding and 20 in Shasta County, not including the 55 correctional officers, 15 district attorneys, 7 probation officers, 7 public defenders? You know, they were buying a horse, but they didn't have a cart to pull.
Well, that's kind of what my point is here about the money, is that we have no idea where that money was really going to be spent other than, you know, this nebulous arena called government, and then who's going to control all that? And if there's, you know, was truly not a problem, why won't they do an audit? Why doesn't somebody show us an in-depth accounting of where all the money's been going before we give them new money to spend on stuff where we're not even sure where that's going? It's these nebulous things. Oh, we're going to get this, and we're going to get that, and we're going to get that. There's no guarantee in any of that. And, you know, at the level in Sacramento, and I'm going to play a little clip here pretty soon on it, about the Gruesome Newsom. It used to be the governator. That was
Arnold.
Arnie. Yeah, you know, I just squash you like a little grape. But, you know.
Can you believe Arnold was worth about $750 million when he became governor?
Yeah, I totally believe it. You know, he married Maria Shriver into the Kennedy family, and was purportedly to be a Republican. I'm saying rhino was probably the word of the day. And any of the things that he tried to do, they pretty much squashed down there at Sacramento. Anyway, but get back to the story here. Gruesome Newsom, you know, is spending our, remember the big gas initiative that we just had a little while ago where they wanted to raise our gas taxes because they were going to spend it, and they guaranteed that it was going to be spent on all the roads.
The carbon tax.
Yeah. Well,
anywhere from what, 7 to 72 cents, whatever they decide on that year?
It was supposed to be for the roads. They guaranteed that it would go towards the roads. This was the added on gas tax funding last year. I don't remember what measure it was off the top of my head. But I want to play this little clip here from OAN, and this is the crux of the matter with our local officials of why we didn't pass Measure A.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, you ready, Ashley? Are we ready to go here? I'm going to hit the button, and let's see if we've got it to work here. And, okay.
Now, despite promising to use funding from California's latest gas tax to fix the state's crumbling roads, Governor Gavin Newsom is using the money to fight so-called climate change instead. One America's Pearson Sharp explains how billions of taxpayer dollars are being spent on projects they didn't approve of.
With just a wave of his pen, Governor Gavin Newsom has thrown the will of California's voters right out the window. Despite promising that money from the new gas tax would only be used for road repairs, and despite voters overwhelmingly passing Proposition 69, requiring that all revenue from the gas tax be put towards transportation costs, Gavin Newsom has dismissed those concerns and passed his own executive order called N-19-19. That order takes money directly from the new gas tax revenues and spends them on climate change initiatives instead. Passed in 2017, SB 1, also known as the gas tax bill, would raise about $54 billion over the next decade, giving the state and local governments about $5 billion a year to spend fixing potholes and repairing bridges. But not anymore. Without asking anyone and without informing the public, Gavin Newsom quietly signed his executive order, taking $5 billion straight from that gas tax and spending it on his own pet projects. That includes funding railroad projects rather than expanding highways, building more high-capacity roads, or improving transit safety. Highway 99, which is chronically congested, has already suffered from his decision, and two additional north and south freeway lanes have been scrapped as a direct result, despite Caltrans admitting the highway is a bottleneck. Assemblyman Jim Patterson of Fresno calls this taxpayer theft by executive order and says it's a glimpse into the future of transportation in California under Gavin Newsom. He warns that Highway 99 is just the beginning and that other road projects will soon get the axe as well as Newsom continues starving us out of our roads. Responding to the executive order, California's State Transportation Agency vowed to prioritize projects that curb greenhouse gas emissions as it works to confront the climate crisis head on. The agency says achieving its goals requires, quote, new thinking, and that anyone opposed to it is not only incorrect, but they're being obstructionist as well. While Democrats promised Californians that the new tax would only be used to rebuild our aging streets, as soon as they had our hard-earned money, all their promises were kicked down the road. Or at least they would be if there were a road to kick them down. Pearson Sharp, One America News.
Well, maybe they didn't break their promise. They just changed their mind later.
They just changed the deal. And that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm so sick and tired of these Pollyanna guys around here that sit there and go, oh, we got to pass this to stop everything. You know, well, we don't need an audit. We'll get a jail out of it. But they're so naively ridiculous about their assumptions that they can trust these politicians to pass these things and do what they're told with the money. But they won't take a look at what happened in the past. As soon as it's passed, then they go back to their little wine bar and their coffee and whatever they're doing, and they forget about it until a couple of years later, and then all of a sudden, oh, we need some more money. And in the meantime, the market's not tanking or nothing, and the unfunded liabilities are not becoming a problem, are they? Oh, and the bond market's inverting, and, you know, we're looking at, a big crash possibly really happening at this point. What do you think's going to happen to all their pensions? They're going to drive this whole thing into bankruptcy, and you can't give these guys any money or any amount of money that will shore it up, especially on the pensions. So when that starts to really rear its ugly head up, do you think they're going to divert funds?
Well, before we get away from the gas tax, I want to bring this up, and I've brought it up before, but I want to put how much gas tax you're paying into perspective. When you buy 10 gallons of gas, you're paying $7.20 in taxes. Grant you, a little under $2 of that is federal, but that's a chunk of money. You got a little car that's holds 15 gallons. That's $10 that you're paying in taxes every time you fill that up, and that doesn't take into the account the taxes the refineries are paying when the gas is heading out. And, for him to do that is just reprehensible. And how much is he taking out of the transportation taxes for the speed rail? The one that goes from Fresno to
that's all these pet projects, and I bet you go down to the end of the line and follow the money, and I bet you there's some buddies at the end of the rail there that are receiving funds somehow.
Well, you know, they don't have to cheat. Look what we give them. But that's not enough. They still need to cheat.
They don't do it openly. That's the whole point. They don't do it openly. They're not honest. It's not transparency. You know, they said they were going to spend the gas tax one way. They end up spending it another way because they don't care what we think as long as they manipulate us into passing what they want. And, gee, does that sound a little bit familiar?
Boy, they think we're dumb. You know, I think maybe we are.
Maybe we are if we keep naively just trusting these guys. I guess we've got to go to a break, Ashley.
And voting them in. I hear rock and roll coming.
Okay, this is actually Imagine Dragons. Everybody praying for the end of times. Everybody hoping they could be the one. I was born to run. I was born for this. Whip, whip, run me like a race horse. Pull me like a rip horse. Break me down and build me up. I wanna be the slip, slip. Word upon your lips, lips. Rather that you rip, rip. Break me down and build me up. Whatever it takes. Cause I love the adrenaline in my veins. I do whatever it takes. Cause I love how it feels when I break the chains. Whatever it takes. Yeah, take me to the top. I'm ready for whatever it takes. Cause I love the adrenaline in my veins. I do what it takes.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading. Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Crazy train there. We're not living in the crazy train, are we, in California?
Oh, Governor Brown's train. I can see him up on front with long hair and waving a hat. Get out of my way.
You know, it's just insane. Let's talk about your letter a little bit. And I kind of want to reinforce the fact that I think that there's a cottage industry around all of these guys, for rehab, getting donations, government grants, in order to support this, you know, rehabilitation effort, getting off the drugs. And what I'm saying is, I think that these guys actually want this thing to get, continue and get bigger. Why else would you give out needles? Why else would you make, you know, these places so that they can have access to drugs? Why else would you, you know, because it's like giving a kid, candy when you want him to brush his teeth. Well, if you have if you don't want to have, your tooth decay, then you got to brush your teeth every day. And oh, by the way, here's some candy to give you some incentive.
And they've got to invent jobs for their kids that went away to college and majored in social services.
I'm telling you, I would like to see where all the money's coming from in all of these different organizations. You know, I think it should be completely separate from any government deal. There shouldn't be rehabilitation, in my opinion, involved in the government at all. It should be, you know, crime, punishment, and then if you want to get some rehabilitation, it should come from private sources. At the same time, you can't create a cottage industry that thrives on having more of these people to rehabilitate.
Well, you know, we're financing the day reporting center that they're trying to get a bigger one, and it's owned by some outfit named GEO, and I didn't know that. I thought the county was running it. But, you know, we're not going to have time to talk about all of Measure A that I want to talk about, but here's where I think we should go. Measure A's done, and this is a letter I wrote to the paper that they printed. They've turned down most of my letters. Why Measure A failed? In my opinion, Measure A failed because the money generated would go in too many different directions by a local government that has lost the public's trust. I think that answers it to a T, why this measure failed. And I got on comments on Reading.com, and here's Dave Venable on there, and he's quoting me. He says, law enforcement and judicial systems should stay out of social services. Country bumpkin mentality is astounding.
Wow. Well, we're all podunks, you know. That's
exactly what they think of us, our supervisors and everybody else. That's the attitude I get. They don't even want to listen to us.
Right, because they're the only ones that have ever been out of the county.
That's right. And you know, if they were to put a ballot measure on there and it said expenditures, money shall be spent on a 500 bed plus jail and all the expenses associated with it, I'm sure it would pass. But here's some other thoughts.
Well,
too.
Let me, before you go there, hang on. I want to address a little bit of the GEO group that you just brought up.
Have at her. Okay. I don't know. Ben,
well,
the big rehabby.
Let's talk about the GEO group a little bit. Let's see. You know, global leader in evidence-based rehabilitation. Now, so this isn't like an American group or a local group. This is a global leader. They have created an industry worldwide for rehabilitation. Okay? Who we are. GEO provides complementary turnkey solutions for numerous government partners worldwide across a spectrum of diversified correctional and community reentry services. From the development of state-of-the-art facilities and the provision of management services and evidence-based rehabilitation to the post-release regeneration and supervision of individuals in the community. GEO offers fully diversified, cost-effective services that deliver enhanced quality and improve outcomes. Does this sound a little bit to you, you know, oh, and there, you know, learn the facts. Click here and read the full letter provided to Senator Elizabeth Warren's office February 27th, 2019. Does this sound a little bit like, you know, a little Glover governance type, you know, GNO, you know, non-government and NGO. That's what I'm telling you. They're creating cottage industries around us being screwed up. And they want it to continue to be screwed up because we're funding our own destruction through these worldwide non-government agencies.
And all the employees are making 100,000 plus salaries. Now, I would wager that if you went over to High Desert Prison over in Susanville and asked the guards to point out the prisoners that are rehabilitatable, I don't think they'd point to anybody.
Yeah.
You're not going to clean those people up. They're criminals.
Oh, and by the way, you know, when you look at their social responsibility pull-down menu, improving the communities we serve through philanthropy and creating sustainable environments.
And the taxpayers paying for it all.
That's what I'm telling you. These guys are the same, communistic redistribution of the wealth guys that we've been fighting all along, and they're doing it through these non-governmental agencies, and they don't even realize it.
Yep, that's right. That's right. On back to my letter.
All right, sorry. I digress.
No, we're doing great. This is exactly what I wanted to do, was read a sentence and discuss it. Here's the sentence, second sentence, which I believe is the cure to our criminal problem in Redding, California, and Shasta County. A new measure should be drafted for the November election, that's this November, for 1/2 cent sales tax to build a new 500-plus bed jail and operate the new jail. This would be all new money. There's no old money to be diverted or sent elsewhere. That's because this is a completely new facility. It's not getting any financing right now. That's where the money would go, to a new jail. And what I'd like to point out is, Comente and the town halls they had a picture of a tower that they wanted to build right next to the existing jail in Shasta County. And, they couldn't even break ground in probably 3 years with the proposal they had up there in Measure A. And my thoughts are, why do we have to build a tower next to the old tower right in downtown Redding, when Bob Hossinger pointed out to me that you could build a one-story jail for half the cost? So I got to thinking, why couldn't they build a one-story jail out at Stillwater? And their argument is, well, they'd have to transport the prisoners back and forth. Well, my thoughts are, you're going to make two courtrooms down on the bottom of the old jail into jail beds. Why not make them into holding cells? And you could transport them in the morning up there when they have a court date, and spend the whole day there and transport them back to Stillwater Prison in the afternoon. On top of that, we've already paid for Stillwater. We've got the infrastructure in, and their build is shovel ready. They could be building in 90 days. And if the city of Redding didn't want to go along with it, I'll bet you Lassen County nurseries would sell us their plot they bought out there, because things turned south on them and they haven't built on it. I'm just guessing, but I think a good measure or a good offer would probably entice them to sell.
I'm doing a little homework on this GEO, guys. I'm so caught up in now, finding this and then looking at it and seeing who the players are and the board of directors and all this stuff. And you start looking at these things and it's like, geez, this is not the deep state crap we all talk about, is it? You got the board of directors here, and I don't mean to change the subject, but it's like, this is pretty informal. So we've got Guido Van Hauermeyeren, a head of coverage in investment banking, Americas for Societe Generale, the bank from France. And then you've got Scott Kernan, California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, on the board of directors. Federal Bureau of Prisons, Norman A. Carlson, director of emeritus, former director.
Some of Redding and Shasta County's money is going to this outfit.
Yeah.
As we speak. They're rehabbing people.
Yeah, exactly. But they haven't made a big cottage industry about on this, have they? And everybody's benefiting from the government coffers. And is that couldn't be where some of our money's going and will be going in the future, will it?
Oh, boy. And they want to expand it.
That's what I'm saying. I think that the only thing that these guys are going to understand, unfortunately, is being kneecapped on the money.
Yes.
And that's it.
And that's what we did to Measure A. We kneecapped him. No, no, no.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the next, what's going to happen is, if we start going back towards the Constitution and you got a bunch of people that are, I think the people are the ones that are going to have to start picking up the ball on this eventually and, defending themselves, because I don't think we're going to get it out of these guys. Even if you throw them in jail, there's going to be a rampant crime here. And can we trust them to fund a jail? Can we trust them to use the money on the jail?
What I read in the paper this morning was, I believe it was out in Shasta Lake City. Some guy was digging a post hole on one side of his house, and his 6-year-old daughter went around, and somebody was in the garage, and he stole something. I forget what he stole, But he tried to pull the daughter into the garage, and the guy grabbed whatever he was going to steal and took off, so he wasn't caught. And it was posted on the new Reading crime page. And this guy's wondering whether he should call the police or not. You know, I mean, try to abduct a little girl, stealing from your garage while you're home. And he
can't decide whether he should call the police?
Yes.
Why? Because he doesn't think they'll do anything? Or he does?
Well, you know, my garage was broken, and two and three chainsaws were stolen. And I didn't call the police, and then I found the receipt for one that had a serial number on it, so I called them, and they took a report over the phone, but I didn't see any sense in calling them. They're not going to send Columbo out and solve saws, and I've had many insurance claims that I didn't turn in because I like to protect the premium I'm paying now.
Right.
And you know,
so what's the answer? The answer is probably you're going to have to, tighten up your property. You're going to have to figure out a way to defend yourself, because I don't see anytime soon it changing.
Yeah, but they've neutered us. We can't do that. We'll just talk about that when we come back from this break.
I disagree with that in a big way.
We're going to have an argument when we get back.
That's just fine. Put on the gloves.
Here we go. We're heading to the break. Let's hear some rock and roll, baby.
I've been playing hard. Said no more counting dollars. We'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. Swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. I feel something so right. Doing the wrong thing. And I feel something so wrong. Doing the right thing. Kills me, makes me feel alive.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems, having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We are all in it together.
Me and my uncle went riding down South Colorado, West Texas bound. We stopped over in Santa Fe.
that day in the fall, just about halfway. Hey, and you know it was the hottest part of the day. And I took the horses up to the stall, went to the barroom, ordered drinks for all. 3 days in the saddle, you know my body hurt. It being summer, I took off my shirt.
A little Grateful Dead there.
Okay, we're going to get back to my comment that the judicial system has neutered us. You know, if I catch somebody breaking in my car and I physically restrain them, maybe hit them a couple of times, I can be arrested for assault. I gave the example on Carl Bott's show, I think it was Thursday, when the police chief was here. And I said, well, how about if I come home and somebody is in my house and I call the police and then I go in and confront them and somehow somebody gets shot? How's that going to play out? And they sidestepped it by saying, well, if you're threatened, if your life's in danger, then you're justified in shooting somebody. But I could see a sharp pencil liberal prosecutor saying, Mr. Gardner, you were outside your house. They were in the person, the perpetrator was in your house, the burglar, and you called the police and you chose to go in and confront him rather than waiting for the police. You're the reason that poor drug addicted person in there that was in your castle, going through all your belongings. You're the reason he was dead. You could have chose to stay outside and not confront him. And you know what? I could probably hire a lawyer and get out of that charge, but it probably cost me everything I have. And that's what I mean by being neutered. You're afraid to stick up for yourself because you don't know if you're breaking the law anymore.
Well, I think that what you're saying is, in essence, correct. But I'm also saying that there's going to be circumstances that you are in the right, and it is a justifiable thing to defend yourself, and there does have to be a threat. So, you know, the question is, you know, if you walk into your house, are you the threat or is he the threat? In other words, that's your home. You could have chosen to stay outside, but that's your home. You live there. He doesn't.
He didn't threaten you till you went in there, Mr. Gardner.
That's right.
This poor opiate dysfunctional person is dead because of you, and he
okay,
was going to
well,
go
me,
to GO and get straightened out.
Let me ask you this. If a jury of your 12 of your peers were in there, would they convict you?
Well, you know, I've made a lot of people angry. It depends on which peers they pick.
They'd probably convict you. They'd let me go. That's what I'm trying to say.
Let's go to the second, the third paragraph here. Did you want to say something before we do?
No, go ahead.
Okay, furthermore, I believe that our law enforcement and judicial system should stick to law enforcement and justice for the victims and stay out of social services. Rehab and opiate disorder. Now, there's a good term, opiate disorder. Instead of calling them drug addicts, they call it opiate disorder. Treatment, a failure in the majority of cases, does not clear the field for losses and property damage caused by criminals and their crimes. And what I see going on is they pick up dirty talking little Johnny down here for breaking into four or five different houses and raising havoc. And he's strung out on heroin. They take him to jail and they send him in and get him all cleaned up and teach him a trade and say, okay, Johnny, here's some HUD assistance to get you in a house. Here's some food stamps. And they call him a contributing member of society now. And they wipe the slate clean. They don't charge him for those burglaries. And, you know, that's an injustice to the victim.
Absolutely. Now, they've got
and that is going on.
Absolutely, because you've got to have a system where you actually have punishment. It's not about crime and rehabilitation. It's about crime and punishment. And people don't change. You know, my brother used to tell me all the time, he says, behavior rewarded persists. And that's the thing. Behavior rewarded persist. If you keep rewarding behavior, it will persist. And that's what they're doing, is they're rewarding the behavior of the criminals, and so it keeps persisting until they figure out a way to make it very uncomfortable for them to keep criminal activity going in their lives. Then you're not going to rehabilitate them at all. So I guess we got two callers. What do we got? Mark first or Peter first? Peter and then Mark. Peter, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, you guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
Listen, you just nailed it on the head. Rewarding behavior. Have you ever heard of a time the government does never have enough money, that they're overworked, and they need more money through by raising taxes? Right? Rewarding behavior.
Yep.
That behavior does not matter in a public service, whether it's here or Australia, and particularly California. These guys make way more money than the private sector, 2 to 3 times, as Terry says, and I can vouch for that. I have figures on what they make. So it doesn't matter what happens to the economy. They can't get fired. They're not accountable. They can screw up, and the guy that's running our water system, intern, he's screwed up to the tune of at least $1 million over the last 5 or 6 years here.
So let's
send us broke.
So let's give them more money, Pete. What do you think?
There's no accountability, and they can't be fired. So what's the solution? The only solution for them is to raise taxes. However, the solution is these guys should have skin in the game. It does not matter what happens to the economy. Their lifestyle never changes. Their wages always go up, and there's never enough money, so raise taxes. They have no skin in the game.
Well, they're going to. They've got skin in the game, Pete. I disagree with you, and it does matter what's happening to the economy, because these guys with these glorified fat pensions have all of their money invested in the stock market and the bond market, and the bond market's tanking and the stock market's tanking, and they're going to take a hit, and they can see it coming. That's why they want to pass more taxes.
Well, listen, look, you're far more knowledgeable on that than I am, but my solution to it all is they should be all... I know indirectly they are, but I'm saying, you know, all our pensions in the private sector, we're all tied up with the 401ks, most of us, or me, I've got rentals. So the private sector is tied up with 401ks.
Well, all I'm saying is if I was you and anybody else that is invested in the markets, I would be out of the markets right now, and I would be in hard assets. Rental properties are good, gold, silver, vintage automobiles, anything other than the market, because I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Listen, mate, I'm not smart enough to play the stock market. I got rentals, and I'm okay with that. But
401ks, you got to look at what they're invested in, is what I'm saying.
But these guys, they have no skin in the game. It does not matter what happens to the economy. Yes, their retirement plan may be affected down the road, but their wages go up 5-10% every year.
Pete, listen to me. Do you know why it does affect them? And I'll tell you exactly why. At the end of the day, when we have no more money to squeeze out of us, and everybody leaves California, and there's no more taxpayers to contribute to their salaries, and the 401ks are all gone to crap, and everything's going bank, they have to bankrupt it. And that's where we're headed. When they bankrupt it, they all get a haircut, and that's what's going to have to happen for them to be accountable.
Mate, I love you, and you're totally right. I understand what you're saying, but you've got a large percentage of people out there that do not understand that, you've got a large percentage of people out there that don't understand that.
Well,
they don't understand they don't understand economics, which is very simple. You're in the red or you're in the black.
Well, my point is that the people that are working in all these government agencies that are on all these pension plans are going to understand it. There's an old, there's a book that Hemingway wrote. I can't remember the title off the top of my head. And they asked him, how was it that you went bankrupt? How did it feel? And he says, well, it was really slow at first, and then it was all of a sudden. And that's where we're headed, and that's where these people are headed. And they're all going to get creamed on this thing. The guys at the top that with the big, lavish pensions, they can see it coming, and they're trying to shore it up. And that's why they're trying to pass these bills to fund their liabilities. But it's all got to come crashing down for the whole thing to work. And that's where
listen,
we're
if you just give me a little bit more, I don't know whether you're aware of it, when everybody in Shasta County, when they pay their property taxes, 0.00925 cents per dollar goes to what's called the Shasta County Water Agency, which is the Board of Supervisors, and they do a 360 degree in the chair, and they become the Shasta County Water Agency. In the last, now out of that dollars, the county only gets $125 out of every $1,000 of property taxes collected, and God knows what, if that goes south or east. So they get about $125 per thousand out of all the property taxes paid here, and that small percentage goes into the Shasta County Water Agency.
We're going to get cut off, Pete, at the 11th,
mate,
top of the hour.
They've collected $2.4 million and $1.2 million over the last 10 years, and $1.2 million has gone to reimburse roads.
I understand what you're saying, Pete, and we're on the same team. And, Mark, stay with us. After the top of the hour, we've got to go to a hard break, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump predicts the financial markets will be bouncing back soon from the recent sell-off prompted by the coronavirus outbreak. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Stock prices have plunged the past 2 weeks because of the health scare and its potential effect on the economy. But the president believes the markets will recover.
I think financial markets will bounce back as soon as this really bounces back.
He says financial markets are down 10 or 11%, but notes that's a relatively small piece of the overall growth over the past 3 years. The president also says the country's economy is strong, insisting we're in great shape. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The number of U.S. coronavirus cases is over 400 now, with cases in about half of the states in the union. The total U.S. death toll is standing right now at 19. Israel's prime minister vowing to press on even after yet another election shortfall.
A defiant Benjamin Netanyahu says he's not going anywhere even after once again falling short of a parliamentary majority with his hardline allies in the country's third election in less than a year. At a so-called emergency conference Saturday, Netanyahu accused his opponents of trying to steal the elections by aligning with Arab-led parties he says are hostile to the state. The election results look to extend the country's year-old political deadlock and weaken the longtime leader as he prepares to go on trial for corruption charges later this month. Netanyahu's deeply divided opponents control a majority of seats, but if they work together, they could block him. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Kamala Harris has endorsed Joe Biden today, saying she'll do everything in her power to help get him elected. Harris is the latest dropout from the Democratic campaign to line up behind the former vice president in his battle with Bernie Sanders for the nomination. The decision is expected to bolster him. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-459-3174. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-459-3174. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-459-3174. 1-800-459-3174.
Senators are scrutinizing a facial recognition software company over privacy concerns and the possible sale of its services to autocrats.
New York-based startup Clearview AI has drawn attention following investigative reports about its practice of harvesting billions of photos from social media and other services to identify people. Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts sent a letter to the company seeking more information about its marketing in Saudi Arabia and other countries. BuzzFeed reported that it obtained a Clearview client list showing its technology had been tried by U.S. federal agencies, major retailers, and law enforcement agencies in numerous countries. Jeremy House reporting.
Today is the beginning of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race, the annual event. It's got a smaller cast of mushers, though, than many recent years. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump is set to honor two legendary international golfers with the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Both members of the World Golf Hall of Fame, Annika Sorenstam and Gary Player, will each receive the medal during a White House ceremony later this month. Player is the remaining member of golf's legendary Big Three to receive the honor, as did Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus before him. The South African native is an international golf ambassador and one of only five golfers in history to win a career Grand Slam. The Swedish-born Sorenstam earned 72 career LPGA victories. She'll be the first LPGA player and the first female athlete who's a naturalized U.S. citizen to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom. George Bonzani reporting.
Today is Sunday, March the 8th, and some famous people are celebrating birthdays, including College Football Hall of Famer Pete Dawkins. He's 82 years old today. Actor Aidan Quinn is 61. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Moonbeam song. That was a Brown song, but we might have to switch that over to the wind windbag, and that would be now Governor Gruesom Newsom's new song, because, I mean, these people are listening to something that's, I mean, they're shocking how screwed up they are. But with that said, we do have a caller. Mark is on the line. Are you with us, Mark?
Yeah, well, I'm here, Mark. How are you doing today?
The fun never stops. How about you, buddy?
Every day's an adventure.
Living the dream.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to interject in the conversation you were having before the break and say that, you know, I think it was Ben Franklin that said anybody willing to trade their safety for their liberty will achieve neither. And so liberty has risk. I mean, Look at the guy in New Jersey, that security guard. He lawfully possessed his weapon. He lawfully possessed the ammunition. He had permits and permissions for everything he had. And they still arrested him and clapped him in jail, and now they're saying that he had illegal hollow point ammunition when the critical defense ammunition specifically issued to him by his employer is on a list of approved ammunition as not being considered a hollow point. So even if you play by their rules, you're still going to end up in jail sometimes. I mean, liberty has risk. If you're not willing to take a risk for your freedom, what are you willing to take?
Well, that's it. And when you're in the middle of a war fighting for your freedom, there's going to be some problems with that you have to actually stand up for what's right regardless of the consequences. And that's kind of my point. You know, if you have to do something to defend yourself, you just have to do it. I mean, that's how it is. And then, you know, you're going to have to fight your way out of it, I guess. But that doesn't mean that these guys are not going to try to, take your life and liberty and property from you.
My point is that the laws should be on our side and not on the criminal side. Well, the laws are protecting the criminals anymore.
Well, I disagree with that. I think the laws are on our side, but I think they've been bastardized by the politicians and the media and the leftists to, turn it around so that the criminal has the rights as opposed to following what the original rules are, was you can protect your life, property, and so forth.
Well, I mean, I think it's obvious that the statutes in place are there to protect the government.
Right.
In the government's agenda to do whatever the government wishes with you, your property, your money. And, you know, just look at AB 5, AB 109. the new bill that says you can't have independent contractors, the vaccination laws,
and
my point
is that they're circumventing the law with these statues. I mean, that's my point. You know, they're passing illegal laws that are not that are foreign to our Constitution, foreign to our liberties, and that's the fight.
Foreign to our sensibilities.
Correct. Yes, you're absolutely correct. And with the struggle for liberty comes tremendous risk.
Yep.
If we're not willing to take that risk, then, you know, hook your chain to the table and just be content with the scraps your master flicks off the table.
Well, that's it. I mean, you go back to April 19th, you know, 17, you know, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, at some point in time, they had to say enough's enough. We're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to follow your guys' rules anymore because your rules are no longer in support of our liberty.
Well, there's that. And also the government refuses to acknowledge free constitutional God-given guarantees. In other words, the government is trying to take the place of God in our lives, and what government gives, government can take away. And if we don't fight that, we are getting exactly what we asked for, exactly what we allowed, and exactly what we deserve if we don't fight.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta give it up sometimes. I mean, we've been doing it for a lot of years, you know, the Patriots, and a lot of Patriots have given their blood, treasure, and their lives, you know, because of this fight for liberty that's been going on for 15, how many thousand years. And, you know, I got a good example of what we're talking about is Julian Assange. I mean, now it's coming to light that they trumped up the charges. There was no sexual thing going over in Sweden. The FBI's been, anybody else that did this journalism, you know, would go to jail for the same exact thing. He's the only one that they did. New York Times printed the story. You know, Washington Compost printed the story. All these other guys printed the story, but the only one that's lying in jail languishing is Julian Assange.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a small demonstration, and they single people out in order to make the rest of us afraid. And, you know, here's what Thomas Jefferson said. People afraid of their government is tyranny. Government afraid of its people is liberty. So it's I'll let you guys go at that, but the choice is entirely yours as to which road you want to go down.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate your call.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Have a good one, bud. That's the truth. I mean, the truth is that if you're a free man, I mean, you ever watch the movie 300, you know, and they ask him, you know, what would you do? And his wife says to him, what would a free man do?
Yes.
And that's the decision we have to make. I mean, what would a free man do? Not what the county supervisors tell us we should do. Not what Gruesom Newsom tells us we should do. Not what Nancy Pelosi tells us what we should do. But what would a free man do that was within the laws of morality and the Constitution of not harming anybody else to keep your life, liberty, and property? Wow.
Free man would do anything for that.
Well, again, I mean, I'm not sure about anything, but definitely if you won't stand up for your liberty, then you have to stand, you know, you'll be deemed that you don't support it. I mean, that's really what it amounts to is that, if you don't stand up for your rights, it will deem that you have none.
And that's why the government's run right over the top of us. We haven't stood up for ourselves some time.
That's why there's a fight going on is people have had enough and they're starting to stand up. Trump wouldn't have got elected. You wouldn't have this pushback we have at the local level. You wouldn't see all these things. You wouldn't see Measure A fail. You wouldn't see the injunction on AB 5. You wouldn't see that most of the states are red. You wouldn't see, the conservative movement coming out of the woodwork. You wouldn't see, you know, the black vote starting to be up at 40% for conservative values. You wouldn't see any of this stuff if the pendulum wasn't swinging back towards liberty and towards intellectual freedom and the right to own property and looking at the Constitution as a guideline for that and common sense, just common sense on right and wrong. And we're starting to see it. I think we're starting to win, but we are still in the middle of a war.
Look at how hard the left is fighting the pendulum swinging back to the right. It's unbelievable.
Well, the useful idiots, you know, they're so caught up in their own little battles of thinking that, whether it's gay rights or racial things or Black Lives Matter, instead of looking at it as a whole people and liberty for everybody, you know, they want to selectively keep us divided, the left does, for whatever reason they possibly can, because if we united and went, you guys are the problem, you guys need to give us liberty across the board, that's the issue, and that's why they want to keep us divided. That's why they're scrambling so hard, because all the power is in us being divided, and so these divisive arguments across the board, they are keep throwing out into the public forum so that we will not rise up and take care of the real problem that caused most of the problem, which is overreaching, out of control, big government.
Overpaid.
That too. Do we got to go to a break, Ashley?
We got the rock and roll coming on.
Actually, I'm a little mixed today. This is good stuff, man. You like Tennessee whiskey? Chris Stapleton?
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is.
Used to spend my nights out in barroom. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom and brought me back, being too far gone. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge at the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
See the lover that's sleeping, while my guitar gently weeps. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping. Still my guitar gently weeps. I don't know why. Nobody told you how to unfold your love. I don't know how someone controlled you. They bought and sold you.
Sovereign Mind Radio.
They bought and sold her. Was that about human trafficking, that song?
You never know.
That was a dynamite song, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Absolutely.
Hey, let's get on back to Measure A and building a jail, a one-story jail just for sentenced criminals and misdemeanors. And you know how overworked our criminal justice system is. I gave the example of a couple of brothers that live on Henderson Road who have 60 arrests between the two of them. Had they been arrested the second time and put in jail and given a year, most of those offenses, those other 58, wouldn't have occurred. And then it makes you wonder how many offenses they committed that would not have been committed if they had been in jail. And I hear the figure 300. There's 300 people in Reading doing 80% of the crime. Well, you know what? You lock those 300 up. Do we really need all those prosecutors and extra police and this and that when those guys are off the street and out of the way? It would sure save a lot of court costs.
Well, I'm in agreement with that. I'm not saying that we don't need a jail. I'm saying that how do we do that and make sure the money goes towards the jail is the big question.
Quarter cent sales tax generated just for a jail and maintaining that.
Yeah, but
jail.
How do you lock these guys down? Because
well,
it seems
you know
like
what?
They do anything they want.
We've got to stand up. We've got to contact the Board of Supervisors. I'll give you their email address here in a minute. Grab a pen or a piece of paper.
You mean, in other words, we have to actually get involved?
We have to hammer home to them that we're not going to vote for anything else. We want a jail. Get us a jail as quick as we can get a jail. And then maybe in a year or two, after you've taken that first step, maybe if we do need some more help, we'll vote in another half-cent sales tax.
I think we needed to vote in another bunch of supervisors.
We had that opportunity. It didn't pan out. It was unbelievable to me, but that's the way the ball bounces, and we're stuck with what we get.
What you've got to do is, and some of these races are still open. I mean, you know, District 4 with Patrick Jones is going to get in a runoff, I guess, probably with Steve Morgan, I think.
Yes.
And so that one's not decided yet. But the problem that happened in Modi's district is that you got two conservatives running against Modi. They're going to have to start teaming up somehow or make a choice on who is going to run. You can't just, split the vote and then get Modi back in there. That's exactly what happened. So.
Absolutely, and it was really frustrating. I kind of wondered if Modi wasn't behind Susan Pierce running to start with.
You know, would you be shocked?
Modi is a very, very intelligent person.
He's politically astute. I mean, if we know that.
He's educated, and that's the thing about these people. Carl was saying that we need to have a forum to where the people can ask the questions of our elected officials. And Carl said, yes, and we need to get Stephanie Bridget up there to explain why she needs more people. You know, we've just done that for a month and a half. We don't have to have Stephanie up there. We don't. And the thing about getting your elected officials up there, they're educated excuse makers. They can come up with an excuse for everything. There's no sense trying to engage with them and telling them what you want. You're going to have to demand what you want. This is all we're going to vote for. Don't give us the rest of this crap. Don't tell me you can't build a jail away from the courts, because it can be done. That was a crux of Mike Johnson's presentation about the ARC. We could Skype you the misdemeanors. They don't have to go to court all the time.
Yeah, I think, we used to think that going to these meetings and being respectful is the way to go. And I personally believe that you can't be respectful for people that are arrogantly opposed to listening to the people as well. So I don't know. Maybe that's just my personal
respectfulness goes both ways, and they don't respect us. You know, I've got a little deal here that was written by John McCain. But if you crossed out the Trumpsters and the national part, this is basically what our Board of Supervisors and our city councils think of us. Brains bias that prevents them from realizing they lack expertise. They are ignorant. that they are ignorant. Basically, they are not smart enough to realize they're dumb. Beyond reach in the short term. That's what John McCain said about people that voted for Trump. And you know what? That could apply to the local politicians, how they think of the electorate right here. They thought we were too stupid to realize that there isn't a jail in Measure A.
Well, that's because the people haven't been involved much up to this point, and they have been dumbed down. And the people, the kids, are completely out of touch with everything other than me. So, but it's changing because you know as things get harder, and as things get rougher, and as things get worse, you know, that is when you're going to start seeing the people rise to the top. The cream's going to rise to the top and get involved like it already has been. But it's still going to get a little worse before it gets a little better, I think, and or maybe even a lot worse, I mean, across whatever battlefield there is. I mean, that's what it took to get Trump in.
Well, you know, they don't even realize that this wasn't a very good measure because they said, well, we need to repackage it. I think Jake Mangus said that. We need to repackage it and present it to the voters differently.
Well, Jake Mangus is a mainstream media guy. I mean,
well, you know, where'd he get so much prestige? I mean, he looks like a high school kid to me, and all of a sudden he's setting policy.
Well, and no, but they give their opinions, and people that are listening to any of these media outlets, you know, if you believe anything that comes out of any of these media outlets, you need to rethink things because, you know, look what that's gotten so far. I mean, it's like listening to MSLSD or the Communist News Network and not realizing that they've been wrong at every single thing for the last how many years, and their credibility is completely shot, but they're still up on there on the air. It makes you wonder who's paying for this.
Hey, and you look at that. Every single county from San Diego up to Seattle is doing the same thing that they want to do, what our Board of Supervisors want to do. They want to rehab the drones. They want to give them a shelter. They want to make life easy on them. And every county's just, it's gone downhill. San Francisco is so ridiculous. They had a guy on the news the other day that has cleaned up towns, Baltimore, been over in Chicago, kind of like Dale Ball did, and he said San Francisco was the worst he ever saw. He said he had to look where he stepped every place he went. And unless the electorate stands up and says no more, we need to prosecute criminals and put them where they need to be, it's not going to get any better. In fact, we're attracting them to Shasta County, besides the fact that we have cheap rent up here. You know, and here's our supervisors and our city and our police chief and our sheriff telling us we don't have out-of-town people coming in here, out-of-town hobos and bums and criminals coming in here. And I see it all day, every day. They dress differently. They walk differently. I see new faces all day, every day, and they'll look you in the eye and say, no, these are all locals. I know they're not locals.
Well, I don't know what the numbers are on that stuff. And, you know, I also know that there's people that have lost their homes and there's a lot of good people out there as well that are suffering, you know, and I don't want to get those guys mixed up with the criminals either, you know. So I'm just saying that, you know, what happened?
I don't know. My point is if you lock up the criminals,
the ones. I think we're off the air. I don't got nothing.
Are we off the air?
I don't have anything.
Ah, we're back on here. My point is, if you lock up the criminals, all the people that need a hand up, that would take a hand up, that I don't mind giving a hand up,
right?
There would be a lot less of them.
And that's kind of all I'm saying is that with that separation, it should be done by the churches. It should be done by these organizations that actually care to help the people and are not trying to enrich themselves or turn it into a cottage industry as opposed to the criminals, you know. But prosecute the criminals and the guys that really need and are looking for the help, you know, there needs to be some avenues for that. But it's not going to be these big non-governmental agencies that have got their hand out from all of our government agencies in order to support their industry, which is that's what it's become, is the homelessness and the crime has become an industry for all of these people with their hands out. And you know, I mean, the fact that one is supported by the, you know, the Bureau of Prisons, I mean, prisons have become an industry. So what we're doing is we're prosecuting people who shouldn't be prosecuted, and then we're not prosecuting the people who need to be prosecuted. And that's part of the problem, is that we've blurred the lines between what is a crime and what isn't a crime. And then the ones that are doing criminal activity, you know, it's like, should you be prosecuted for smoking a joint? No, I don't think so. Should you be prosecuted for growing dope? I don't think so. I really don't. But if you drive a car on it, yeah, it's just like alcohol. So what I'm saying is we've blurred the lines between what a free person can do and what a free person not can't do. You know, we go after the pot guys, but, you know, instead of going after them for driving behind a car, selling to underage, and doing what it should be done, we're going after them specifically, in a lot of cases, for what they're doing and using, as opposed to what they actually commit towards other people. And that's part of the problem, I think. I think that, you know, we've got selective prosecution going on crimes that aren't really committed, and then we let the criminals go when they should be putting them away. Am I off base here?
Well, I think we've blurred the lines on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. You know, if somebody wants to smoke a joint, that's fine with me, but they shouldn't be standing on the street corner in front of people.
Well,
you know,
like,
a little citation. Sure. Here's a $25 fine. Don't do that again. Go over behind
just
the tree.
Just like if you were drinking a shot of whiskey on the corner. You know, that's
what's wrong with that? I grew up drinking whiskey. No, I'm just kidding you. But you know, we have there's behavior that is not acceptable. That people, it's time for a break. That people, shouldn't be punished for.
Let me give an example of how they've blurred and screwed these lines up, and then we'll go to a break. Down in San Francisco, this is an actual story. A guy's on the corner eating a sandwich, and he gets cited for eating the sandwich in public. Okay, on the street, and the other guy is taking a crap on the sidewalk, and they just let him go.
We protect our drones, don't we?
Unbelievable. Anyway, let's come back from our break, and then we'll get Roberto on the line.
Around you, look up here, take time to make time to be there, look around, be a part, feel for the winter but don't have a cold heart. And I love you best. You're not like the rest. You're there when I need you. You're there when I need. I'm gonna need you.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167, 241-1167.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta, wanting to spread the word to all North State first responders, police, fire, EMS, and dispatchers. We are bringing nationally certified Code 9 PTSD and suicide prevention training right here to Shasta County, starting March 24th at Simpson University. There are seminars for command staff, frontline first responders, or their families. We have paid so you can attend for free. Details and registration on our We Back the Blue Shasta Facebook page.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Off on 57 Chevys and 52 ounces. Anyway, hey, let's get back to the jail. And, you know, I'm saying we need a half-cent tax to build a 500-bed jail, and that would go a long ways towards curing our criminal problem. Terry Raposa and Mark, I'm sure, agrees, too. We need a forensic audit, and that is to go from department to department and identify money that's not being used. And I thought about this morning. We should have that audit, but at the same time, we should have some efficiency experts go from unit to unit and show them how they could be a little bit more efficient with our dollars and their labor, because I think there's an awful lot of waste when it comes to how our money's being utilized at the county level.
Hold that thought. Let's go to our caller. Roberta, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry, well, Roberta.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I tell you, Nick, I would love to bestow citizen emeritus for all your hard work and staying in there in the fight, but also educating this community on how we can take control of our government if more of us won't just stand up, let our voice be heard. Sure, you might feel you're ignored, but if enough of us do it, we will not be ignored anymore. And then as far as the homeless and the criminals and all of that, it's called parenting and enabling. And that's exactly what they're doing.
That's right.
So thanks for this wonderful program, and thank you, Mark and Nick.
Thank you for compliment, Roberta. And I'm going to tell your listeners where to go right now. You need to email your supervisors. Let them know you've got an eye on what they're doing. Their website to email them, and this email will go to all five of them, is Shasta County BOS. That stands for Board of Supervisors. Shasta County BOS at co.shasta.ca.us.
So we've had enough of the BS at the BOS? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Boy, I'll tell you, I think we've all had enough of BS. But you know what? When they come up with a measure or something, it's public. They can give you a copy of it. You can usually find it online and read that. And, you know, I've only gone to probably 20 to 25 supervisors in my life in the last 25 years. And, you know, amazingly, four or five times I've caught them outright lying, or I've caught them deliberately deceiving us.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what? If you don't say, hey, you're deceiving us, you're not telling the truth, they think they've got away with it. And just like that guy said, he thinks we're all ignorant.
Well, you know, if there's any one thing that everybody needs to do is get involved somewhere, you know, target something, whether it's helping raise your kids or, you know, getting involved at the Board of Supervisors meeting and holding them accountable, you know, the state of Jefferson, your representation. I mean, you've got to get involved, and that's really the key somewhere along the line. And we need more people involved. My biggest problem with what's happening here is I've said from for 35 to 40 years, however long I've been involved in this stuff, is that it's going to take public opinion to change anything. Public opinion is changing, okay? But we need more people to change and start getting involved instead of watching TV or being entertained or being distracted. And a lot of it is that we're so, a lot of us are so caught up in working and making a living, and it's hard to get involved. It's hard to make that time, but you have to do it because the end result is you're going to get involved in one way or the other. The old saying, I think it was Plato said that if you don't get involved in your government, you'll be ruled over by idiots. And that's kind of really what we're talking about here, is that if you want to be ruled by idiots, then just stay home and don't do nothing and you know, watch TV and be entertained. But we've got to make the effort. That's what this whole experiment in self-governing is about, is it's self-government, not being governed by you know, our betters or our worse or our, you know, our criminals. You have to be involved to hold them accountable. And unfortunately, I think it's going to get a lot worse before people wake up to that fact in enough numbers to actually hold our local guys accountable here in Reading. For whatever reason, you know, they're out doing, you know, the voting block here is in love with some of these guys that have been in there for a long time, Modi being one of them, for example. You know, we should have got rid of that guy a long time ago, in my opinion. But,
well, you know, I touched on the efficiency expert, and I've got a really good example of, and it's the city of Reading, that where they could be more efficient with our tax dollars. You see these fire trucks, I've even seen the ladder truck going on a medical call, you know, and they're wearing the engines out. Those fire engines must cost $250,000-$300,000, if not more, and they replace them as the amount at a certain amount of hours on them, or mileage, to people that don't understand that equipment runs on hours. Wouldn't it be more cost efficient to have a medical emergency van there to where they could pop in and shoot on over there instead of wearing out their fire equipment?
You know, Nick, I think that you're so spot on with what you're saying about the waste and inefficiency of what's going on in government that I bet you we could find millions of dollars that are can be you know, reallocated, not wasted, redirected, you know, trimmed off the fat, different policies. These guys are bloated. They don't care. It's all coming. Their answer has been to just raise the tax. That's why they got slammed in this last one. But you're right. You need somebody. I mean, that's why Trump is so revered at his level, is because that's exactly what he's doing. He's a businessman that's going in and saying, get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this. You know, make this more efficient, redo this. And that's what we need locally here as well. Not necessarily Trump, but we need the people saying, you need to start following our suggestions. You need to get some experts in there that are going to come up with more suggestions so that we can look at those suggestions that are common sense and start trimming the fat and making this an efficient, lean machine as opposed to this big cash cow that all of these guys have got their fingers in the pie on.
You know, and another thing, old Patrick Jones, he seems to think we pay enough taxes. There's enough taxes there. We don't need a jail. And, you know, I differ with Pat on a few things. I differ with Terry on a few things. I think you and I could argue once in a while. But that doesn't mean we're enemies. I would vote for Pat if I got the opportunity. But, you know, he came up with the idea that we could send criminals out of state. And, by goodness, you know, two or three people said, that's not legal. We can't do that. Sheriff McGreeny says, nope, that's not legal. Well, I caught old Sheriff McGreeny at a supervisor's meeting and asked him if he could point me to the law
right. That
says that. And, well, no, I can't. I've been told that by two or three people, but I can't point you in a specific... I contacted Bruce Ross. Now, Bruce Ross is a wealth of information, and he knows where to look. And he's a very nice person, too. And here is a quote from what he sent me. I don't think there is anything that strictly forbids sheriffs from contracting for out-of-state beds. And then he says, but there's nothing authorizing it either.
Well, that's not how law... Okay, let me give you a little primer on law. If it's not specifically barred... then it's typically legal. Okay. And so that's what they do. That's, would you know what that, that sheriff, what that's, that is, go away. I don't want to talk to you about it anymore. I don't want to look at or explore the means of solving the problem. It's something that I don't want to deal with. So I'll tell you it's illegal and move on because that's what I heard.
And they're not used to somebody like me that's going to dig up and find out whether that's true or not.
One thing that I learned early on in my business, which is litigating in tax law. Okay. One thing I learned right away is that half of them don't know what they're talking about and they're BSing you on what the rules are. The first thing out of my mouth when I first started my practice was, show me the law that says that. Show me, you know, where do you get your authority from? Where do you get your authority from? Not something that's a word of mouth thing. Written down authority, where's it coming from? And that is the secret to dismantling some of these guys' arguments, because they don't have any authority. They're making it up about 90% of the time because they just want you to go away and leave them alone so they can get back to what they're doing.
Educated excuse makers.
Yeah, I guess we got to go to a break. 1 minute? You want to go now?
We just get going, Ashley. She's calming us down. She's afraid we're going to get a little out of control in
here. Yeah, she's like Zen. She's like using the Force. You will calm down, Mark and Nick. You will calm down, Mark and Nick.
The Force here being the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there.
One and only rebel child. From a family meek and mild, Mama seemed to know what lay in store. In spite of all my Sunday learning, for the bad I kept on turning, Mama couldn't hold me anymore. Then I turned 21 in prison, doing life without a parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried, Mama tried, Mama tried.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
There's nothing like it on Earth. The all-new Jeep Gladiator. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our cash and Jeep Gladiator giveaway swipe to win promotion. Win free slot play Thursdays at 8 p.m. All winners receive bonus entries. Two semifinal drawings, $10,000. Grand prize drawing Thursday, March 26th. Win a 2020 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. One of a kind with exceptional design. Purchased from SJ Denim. Details at WindRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Louis Black, It Gets Better Every Day Tour.
And for those cynics who don't think it gets better every day, well, I'm coming to your town with a new show, and it doesn't get any better than that.
March 29th, 7:30 p.m., Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now at readingcivic.com or call the box office. Louis Black, It Gets Better Every Day Tour.
Louis Black reminding you, I'll see you in March.
This is Nick Gardner here, and I had a brainstorm, so stand back. You know, this show is paid for by Terry Raposa and Mark Kent, the producers for Sovereign Minds. This is their show, and they pay a fee to be on here.
Okay, actually, it's not paid for by us. Okay, it's paid for by a lot of people that contribute small amounts of money to Pecan, which is a 501c3 that keeps us on the air. Okay, and that's so they have to donate to Pecan in order to keep us on the air. So just to clarify that, it's not coming out of our pockets as individuals.
So I have come up with an idea to help finance some of these radio stations, and I thought of the bright idea of businesses, perhaps for $25, they could do their own 15-second commercial on the air right here. For instance, they could call in. They don't have to come into the show. And Ashley'd say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, my name's Robin. I own Don Sandwich Shop on Bocelli Lane. We've been in business since 1962. In fact, we're the business that brought pastrami to Reading, the first pastrami. It was delivered on a Greyhound bus every morning. We also roast and hand cut our sandwiches to order. We've got roast beef, we've got pastrami, we've got turkey, we've got ham, we've got everything, and homemade from scratch desserts. So come visit us. That's what I have in mind. If you wanted to donate $25 to Pecan, you could call and do your own commercial on the air just like that. Give it some thought.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that one because there could be glitches on doing that. I'm not sure. We'll have to think about that. But it's not a bad idea, I think. And if anybody wants to donate anyway, you can send checks to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. And the address is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Reading, California, 96003. And, yeah, if you want to keep us on the air, that's where you send the money. And, we're looking for donations because, this isn't free here. We pay quite a bit of money every month to be on the air, which seems kind of silly.
They should be paying us.
I would think so. But then again, maybe they pay us to stay away. I don't know. But, we try to get this information out to everybody. And what's coming up, I think, not to change the subject, but I'm going to, is we need to start thinking about survival again and preparedness because, if you look at the markets and you look at everything that's happened in the last few years and, you look at the fires and everything that's going on in the world, this pandemic, coronavirus stuff, shelves emptying out. If you're not preparing a little bit at this point for a problem, I think that you are very
naive,
absolutely, much missing the point of what's going on because any of these things could be a real super problem at any level. And if you don't have some extra food storage and you don't have a go bag and you don't have, anything to protect yourself with and you don't have a little storage of maybe some money somewhere in a safe or something so that if something happens and the banks go down that you can't get to extra cash so that, or if a fire rips through your home, have a little extra cash so that you can survive for a few days. All the above, and we're going to be talking more and more about that as time goes by, of this survival situation. And, we got a little bit prepper burnout there because, we thought that a lot of this stuff would be happening years ago, and it's still coming to fruition. Do you think that we are going to, Trump's telling us we're in the best economy ever. I'm not buying it. I understand why they're saying it. But all you got to do is look around, and we're not in the best economy ever. All you got to do is look at the stock market. All you got to look at the bond market. And what you have to realize is, are they trying to drive the market down? Are they trying to cause a crash? I think maybe some people are. You look at the Fed, and they're cutting interest rates some more. Would the Democrats love to see the market come out from under Trump? Sure. But I don't think anybody's going to blame Trump anymore, even if it does. I think the fact is that we all know where it's coming from. It's been coming from the deep state for a long time. And you can't just keep printing money out of thin air to shore up our economy. That's what they've been doing as well. We're seeing inflation in the stores. We're seeing the devaluation of our currency. I'm not sure sometimes whether Trump is a Sith or a Jedi warrior. I'm voting on the ladder. So, you know, let's just stay tuned. But again, just a warning to everybody out there. You need to have some preparation going on in your life for whatever reason, whether it's a local disaster or a currency collapse or, you know, economic collapse or, you know, take your pick. But it's, if you're not doing that, I think that you are very unwise and naive. With that said, let's move on. Where are we going now?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I was talking to some guys that were trying to get me to invest some money with them the other day, and it sounded pretty good. They're on the trail of and just about ready to find Barack Obama's magic money tree. We could be on the ground floor. Just go out and pick money. You know, over in Europe, there's some banks that charge to have your money in there. What do they call it, a negative
interest rate? Well, we're starting to see that, and we're also starting to see, you know, if you look at the bond market here, and I got a little printout of the bond market.
I never have understood the bond market and how it affects the economy and everything.
Let me give you a little short primer on it here. Here's how the bond market works. Right now, I'm showing you a chart.
Gotcha.
Everything's in the red. And everything is below one interest on a treasury bond. Okay? So, what happens is that when you have an inverted yield curve and you look at a 1 month treasury paying more than a 10-year treasury, how many people are gonna invest in treasury bonds at a 10-year level and give up their money and control of their money for 10 years? That's what happens in the bond market. This pretty soon when it inverts, they can't sell any of the bonds. So the Fed becomes the buyer of last resort. And they just print the money out of thin air to buy the bonds. And the bonds then, the money that prints out of thin air is what funds the government, and the government just uses that to fund it, so you're devaluing the currency exponentially because nobody else will buy the bonds.
Let me ask you this. They were going to sell a bond in Measure A to finance the jail. How does that affect that? Does that mean they have to pay more money because the bond market's in the toilet to get their money to build the jail?
Yeah, that's the thing is that, you know, you got not getting any interest rates. And you'd have to pay more money. But this is kind of a little bit apples and oranges. What we're talking about is the treasuries and the major banks and the Fed printing the money out of thin air, which is devaluing everything across the board. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Deutsche Bank is it's called. And it is cratering. If you go to Deutsche Bank, which is the biggest systemic global bank that will take down all the other banks, has gone from $50 a share down to less than $7 a share in the last 5-6 years. And if it goes down, then that causes a systemic, the exact same thing that happened in 2008 with the world economy. When that gets to a certain point, it causes a domino effect on everybody else. And we might be seeing that at some point. So just a word to the wise here. Things are getting kind of crazy out there in the bond market and the stock market. You know, we're down 4,000 points and the swings now are like 1,000-point swings. It's like up 1,000 day, one day down. That's not normal. Okay. And they're bailing out the banks to the tune of billions of dollars every month through these bonds and the overnight repo rate. So just a word to the wise.
Well, one warning, when everything does go to hell on us, remember there's a lot of people out there that aren't prepared and people get desperate when they don't have food. I've often thought what would happen to Reading if I-5 shut down for 3 or 4 days.
Well, it'd be a good idea to maybe think about that a little bit just for your own self.
Well, think about your defense and defending your supplies also.
Absolutely, no question about it. So it's getting crazy. I think it's official at this point. I said it before. I think the world has gone completely freaking crazy, you know. And so I don't know. What do we do? I don't know. See what happens, I guess. But don't be naive or stupid and think that you don't have to prepare, that the government is going to take care of you and that food stamps are going to take care of you.
The government's going to take care of themselves.
Yeah, it's
just like if Shasta Dam broke. Believe you me, they'd get their families out first and then let us know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, it's crazy. And you got this, saying that all the markets are dropping because of this coronavirus. And I'm saying that's probably the black swan, not necessarily it might be the cause of it starting to happen, But the fact that it's overvalued and we've been blowing up this stock market with inflated dollars for years now, you know, is the real underlying cause. You can't just keep printing money out of thin air without a consequence. And this could be the pin that pricks the bubble. So
what do you think? Do you think the coronavirus is a man-made bio-virus?
I don't know. I haven't got enough information to say one way or the other on it. But what I am saying is that this could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have the media saying that this is going to get out of hand, we're going to have a pandemic, we have to shut down all the shipping lanes and no more boats coming in from China, then what happens is you're shutting down trade in the economy just by doing that, not necessarily the actual cause of it.
And Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton get in and they say, oh, we were wrong. Okay, well, we'll run the country now.
Yeah, they're talking about Hillary getting on Joe Biden's ticket, which is like...
Do you suppose we could buy a life insurance policy on Biden if that happens?
I think Biden's got some kind of dementia or something. I mean, he can't even remember who was his... It's the old Biden Obama team now. You know, he can't remember his wife from his sister. I mean, there's something really wrong with the guy. I mean, I'm serious. You know...
Before Trump showed up, I would have put an age limit on being president.
But well...
What's Trump? He's 70?
I'm not sure.
He's up there.
70, 72.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
Did you see how they're feathering his hair down? Take a look at him. They're feathering his hair down, making it look a little bit normal.
Do you know what's even more funny is the Democrats saying how they hate old, white, rich Americans. And, and who's the two men left standing? Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, who have never had a job, have made all their money in politics, you know, and nobody knows where the money's coming from.
I know some local politicians like that. Never had a job, made all their money off the public sector. And we've got 1 minute left.
Yeah, I'm having an issue here.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well.
It's been a fun show today.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to contact your supervisors. You got to tell them how you want to be represented. That's what we elected them for, was to represent us. Somewhere along the line, they've decided that they were elected to tell us what to do. They know what's best for us, and the results show it. I mean, look at what's going on with the crime and homelessness and everything. Those are the results we don't want.
I got to say it. We're just about out of time. My computer's froze up. But government is force. It is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous.